Welcome everyone to Leagues HQ, a Bass for Victoria production. Ted West here. We have Sarah and Greg in the studio. We are everything CBL today as we, I can't really say lead into finals because we have a conference here that's in finals at the moment. So three conferences with one more round to go with one of our conferences beginning their first round of finals this weekend. But Sarah, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Ted.
Doing all right in the lead up to finals?
Yeah, we're getting there. We had a cracker weekend this weekend and another big one to look forward to this coming weekend as well. So it's all happening in CBL.
Absolutely. And you were in Bendigo as well. So we'll get to that when we jump to that conference. Some very exciting games over there over the weekend. We also have Greg here in the studio. Greg, a big time for you. You can't really say the basketball winds down because you've always got something on, but how are you feeling at this time of the year?
The basketball world just continues, Ted. You're right. But hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. No, it's an exciting time of year for the country. Basketball league, it's been good to get out and about to a couple of the venues this year, but in particular, looking forward to getting to some semis and grand finals after this weekend. But we've certainly got some divisions that are going to go down to the wire in terms of who's making the playoffs, and we've already seen that in the Northwest with the qualifying, all the teams that qualify for finals going right down to the very last day of the competition. So, no, exciting time of year once again.
Absolutely. Well, we'll jump straight into our Gippsland conference. We're going to do it a little differently this weekend. We're going to do Gippsland, both men and women, and then we'll move on to Northeast, men and women, and so on and so forth. So jumping straight in to our Gippsland men, the week that was, we had Traralgon and Pakenham finishing out with an 8-1 record, defeating Bairnsdale and Sale respectively. They are now, I guess, battling out for first place. Sarah?
Yeah, five have to become four this week in the Gippsland Men's Conference. Pakenham and Traralgon are sort of locked in those top two spots, but it will be down to this weekend in terms of where they sit. However, we have to do also remember that Traralgon do have Pakenham on the head-to-head.
So to that same point, Sarah, I was just having a quick look at the matchups for this weekend. And so we've got the top four v the bottom four as going into the last round. So it's going to require a significant upset of a Mafra or Warragul loss to give Wonthaggi a shot at getting into the four. But as you say, Pakenham, Traralgon, as long as Pakenham get it done, they'll secure first spot on the ladder. But yeah, I think I predicted some weeks ago, if you knew or questioned me, I said Mafra, they'll be fine. They'll get there. And assuming they don't get over the final hurdle this weekend, it's going to happen.
I mean, it is finals, Greg. And leading into them, anything can happen. Literally anything at all. I don't think we could calculate exactly what could happen. We can obviously predict, but anything and everything can happen. And I think we just have to be wary of Wonthaggi sitting in that fifth spot. They do have the head-to-head on Warragul. So if something goes a little bit astray on Sunday, Wonthaggi could be pushed up into finals.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But, you know, Warragul had a doubleheader on the weekend and they did win both games. So they, you know, they're coming into this weekend with a little bit of momentum and they're holding strong. You know, so sitting in third at the moment, they are holding strong. So we have Pakenham, Traralgon, Warragul and Mafra in the top four currently with like we said, Wonthaggi just one spot out. A situation which actually can happen here. But we look to this weekend again, like we say, Wonthaggi versus Sale. So Wonthaggi currently the 5-4. They can get to section 6-3. So Warragul and Sale, I believe that's on the Saturday night. Wonthaggi and Sale on a Saturday night. But then Warragul play Sale on Sunday. So again, do they not?
No, Ted.
They don't?
You've got it backwards. Right matchups, wrong day. So we have Sale Warragul happening on Saturday night and then Wonthaggi take on Sale on the Sunday.
To Ted's defence, his was a better model. In terms of the closing of the season, it would have been a much better model to have Wonthaggi getting the win, putting the pressure then on Warragul into the Sunday. But can't have everything.
I'm sorry, I'm just not a fixture god, and I couldn't quite just piece that one together.
But then we also have Mafra taking on Banzhou as well. So another winnable game for Mafra to then hold on, as Greg likes to say, to make that final four. As you said earlier, Sierra, Terralgan and Pakenham remaining first and second most likely. It's just going to be a matter of who finishes on top.
Yeah, exactly. They've locked away sort of those semi-finals at home, so they can start sort of their associations preparing to make those the spectacle they will be. But they still obviously need to get the job done this weekend as well.
Yeah, 100%. And was it round six, I believe you said, where it was Terralgan who got the win?
You're asking some hard questions there, Ted. I think we're right there, actually. I've gone back. Round six, you are right. So good on you for that one.
Absolutely.
Where Terralgan did defeat Pakenham 100-83. So Terralgan, if they do finish on the same wins, they will push into that first spot.
There you go. So Terralgan, if they win, they'll finish on top versus in fourth place with then two versus three. Gippsland women. So again, we'll go to last week. It was Pakenham who got the win over Sale to then push the Warriors into the fourth spot. We had Hayley Letts top scoring with 23 points. We then had Currumburra got close to Warrigal on the Saturday night. Warrigal then taking control in that second quarter, which was massive for them, to 22-9 points. Which was massive. They then followed up on the Sunday, but they lost to Wonthaggi. So still in the race for second place there.
Yeah, this is just a conference that's going down to the wire. We also saw the two undefeated teams in Moi and Warrigal take on each other on Sunday. That outcome did have Warrigal winning 67-54, but I think that could potentially shape up into another game that we could see in finals, and it'll be down to how Moi learn and grow from that game as well.
Yeah, so looking into this weekend of this last round, you have Moi to take on Morwell, and I believe it's win and finish second, which is going to be very interesting. You then have Morwell and Pakenham as well, so it could be a game to see who makes finals.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to Sunday, one of the last games in this conference, on who's going to take that fourth spot. Morwell with the two games in hand. However, as you were saying, they do have a tough battle this weekend. So I think on Sunday you could see it be you win, you take that fourth spot, you make finals.
That is some fixture god type work you've done there, Sarah. Beautifully done. I was just looking at that myself thinking that should make for an absolute ripper of a game there at Morwell on Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. Well, we'll jump over to the Northeast conference, but just before we do there, we had a little meeting earlier this morning, and we spoke about the Gippsland Ridge, and we do have some people from the Gippsland area in our office, and we had a little chat about it, and I believe we have some AM radio stations?
Triple M
Gippsland. Where it is a local radio station over there, and they seem to be pretty keen on CBL.
Of course, Gippsland Region plays a big role in the CBL. We've got a sponsor of the CBL and Gippsland Finance Solutions, but also, yeah, it's great to see and hear that the Triple M down in Gippsland giving the weekly updates on CBL, and I'm sure there's other networks doing the same right around the country region. So, yeah, I think we need to do it next year, certainly look to tie in a little more and work together wherever we can with them just to continue to spread the Country Basketball Victoria love.
Yeah, absolutely. Very very cool to hear that. We had a little fun discussion about that earlier today. So awesome to see that the radios are getting connected with the community basketball. It's awesome to see. Northeast conferences, we start with the men. Wodonga got close to Wallen, falling just short last week, and the first quarter definitely hurt with just 9 points to Wallen's 25. Sarah, what else did we have?
We had Echuca trying to sort of keep in touch with that top four where they've unfortunately fallen short. They had a mammoth task last weekend. They had to try and take down top two teams in both Seymour and Wallen in a doubleheader weekend, which they unfortunately did take the loss on both occasions. However, credit to them, they were able to push Wallen on the Sunday, where they only went down by 9. So that has sort of locked away the top four in a sense. However, the placings in those are still all up to play for this weekend.
Yeah, so what do we have this week? You got Wallen to finish on top, which I think is somewhat to be expected at the moment, as they see it's, what, 8-1?
Yeah, Wallen should get the win over Mansfield, but it's going to probably come down to Seymour and how they go this weekend. They are taking on Wodonga on Saturday night. They did lose to them earlier in the year, so that could be a tough one for them and how they show up. However, they are playing at home, so I think that'll boost them in terms of player availability, and also just having a home crowd makes such a difference to anyone.
Yep.
So it depends really how that game goes. They then do play away against Shep on Sunday. However, if we're going off history, they should take the win there. So it'll all come down to that Saturday night game, because going back, they do have the head-to-head on Wallen. So pretty much if they win both, they should end up in that top spot.
So it's more or less just a hosting rights sort of game on that Saturday night. You win and you host for second and third.
Potentially. Wodonga could also steal that second away from them. If they get wins this weekend in both games, so if they take down Seymour, they also have their cross-border battle with Albury on Sunday as well. If they win both of those, they, and even if Seymour do win against Shepparton, Wodonga have beaten Seymour during the season.
Yeah.
So again, looking at a head-to-head, they would push up into that top two spot and take a home semi.
Yeah, so Saturday night is a lot bigger than I think what we probably anticipated at the start of this week and the outcomes of last week, that, you know, whoever wins that Saturday night, it's going to be crucial to see what happens on that Sunday, because, you know, hosting rights in finals actually, you know, it matters a lot.
Yeah, especially when you're looking at, you know, a Wallen, you know, hosting, say, an Albury, even a Seymour hosting a Wodonga or an Albury, like, or the vice versa, it makes a big difference. And I think once we sat down, I know I didn't, you calculate the games, the head-to-heads, so many different things can happen this weekend. It really just depends on who's winning what game. Like, even Sunday, that Albury-Wodonga could switch third and fourth position. It could change everything.
Absolutely. So, Wallen get the win, safe to say they'll finish on top, and then, you know, anything can almost happen here when it comes to, you know, 2, 3, and 4. I think Albury can squeeze into third, as you said. I don't think they can reach fourth. They haven't got enough wins thus far this season. But, yeah, they do have that chance to finish third, currently sitting fourth quite comfortably. I don't think anyone else can actually make it. I think that top four is pretty much set. It's just a matter of placings.
Yeah, exactly. And it's pretty much just going to throw it up in the air right now and see where it lands come the weekend.
Very exciting. We jump to the women's side here of our Northeast. Again, their last round this coming weekend. Very exciting. You had Albury getting the win on Saturday night, keeping their finals hopes alive, with Wallen helping them out just a little bit, dropping both of their games on the weekend.
Yeah, Wallen, from what I've heard around the traps, is they were a little bit undermanned this weekend.
Yeah, okay.
Which it's always expected, you know, teams trying to back up week in, week out, playing double headers, things like that.
It's
you
tough.
You just can't have everyone available always.
Yeah.
So seeing them drop a couple of games probably isn't the worst. It still keeps them in a great position, and they can obviously build off those games heading into this weekend and see where they can improve to make sure they're taking home that win against Myrtleford on Sunday.
Yeah, they were close. They almost defeated Myrtleford. I believe I think they're going to be one of the rare teams to go undefeated in CBL. But they almost snapped their winning streak. It was the third quarter, which put Myrtleford in control. It was definitely close, but that 16-9 point, third quarter, I think, just gave Myrtleford that little bit more control. So the Saints looking to be one of the teams in the entirety of CBL that are going to finish undefeated.
Look, this sounds a little controversial. I would just love for Shepparton to get up and over in Myrtleford this weekend. I know it would obviously ruin the undefeated streak, but I'd love to see Shepparton get a win. They've battled so hard all season, and to have them finish with a win, it would just be a great way for them to take their season and move on into 2025.
Absolutely.
Look, anything's on the cards. So I'm going to cross my fingers for Shepparton, if I'm being completely honest.
100%. Look, I think everyone probably is. We all love an underdog story. So that is one of the games this weekend. But I think as we look towards finals, it's all about third and fourth spot for this conference.
Yeah. So with the eight games in this one, pretty much the top two spots are basically locked away. It'll just be that third and fourth and what happens in Albury and Wallen's respective games this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is our thinking if they both lose? I believe Albury finish. I think they finish third, I think. Or if they both win or if they both lose. I believe it'll be Albury who... No, they finish fourth. Apologies. Albury's got the head-to-head. There you go. So, moving on, we now have our third conference here with one round left. We have the South West Conference. Again, going through men and women. We had Horsham, who got the win, holding on to top spot, whilst Gambier's two wins over Terang and Warrnambool will keep them in the race for first place, even though they're sitting third on the ladder at the moment, I believe.
Yeah, this conference in both men's and women's, you could basically just throw your hands up at this stage the way it's going to go. Looking at the men's, you've got anywhere up to Colac in sixth spot, able to make it in that one, with Portland, Millicent and Colac all sitting on the four wins heading into this weekend. It's just going to be all on the line for all of those teams. And then as you're talking about, we've got Mount Gambier sitting in the third place at the moment, but they could push all the way up into a home semi spot as well. So it's just, you're just going to have to watch and wait.
Absolutely. Now, Greg, I've got a question for you, and I'm definitely not throwing you under the bus here at the moment. Now, you've got the ladder showing up here. Warrnambool are currently sitting second. They don't have a game this weekend. They played all 10 games, so they're sitting 7-3. At the moment, they're hosting. So finishing second, they're currently hosting to play that second and third. But looking at this weekend, like, do you think there's anything going on in their minds? Because their position could definitely change.
Well, I'm just having a look on the fly here. So they suffered Warrnambool suffered a 19-point loss to Horsham. And they also copped a 41-point loss to Mount Gambier. So with respect to, while they're sitting second on the ladder, you know my views on wins looking after the ladder situation. But realistically, Warrnambool's currently in third spot. Even if Mount Gambier win both, Warrnambool's going to fall to third. So as it sits, I think they'd be sitting there thinking, well, Horsham or Mount Gambier. And again, assuming the results go the way that both of them would expect it to go this weekend, then they'll be sitting there getting... At the moment, Horsham has the head-to-head on Mount Gambier. So I would assume that Warrnambool, in some respects, preparing themselves for Mount Gambier in that first semi-final.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like Horsham are playing Ararat this weekend. They win, they maintain first, they finish on first. Mount Gambier host Colac and then Hamilton. So if they win both, they then take first.
It's, like I say, literally you could just try and guess, but the options on how this weekend could go and how this ladder looks come Sunday night when it gets tidied up and adjusted, it's just too far to even try and think about. Like, you'd end up with so many options on the way everything could go.
Absolutely. You got Paul and Millicent and Colac, as Sarah said before there. It's all up in the air. Portland currently sitting above with the points 17 and then 16-16. But the scenarios there is, like, there's so much that can happen.
Yeah, I'm going to say that Millicent are probably in the box seat when you're looking at what's going on this weekend. So you have Portland taking on Ararat, who you would assume Portland should take the win there. However, Millicent are then taking on Hamilton and then have a showdown with Colac come Sunday. So it could turn down to that last game, Millicent and Colac. However, with Colac taking on Mount Gambier on Saturday night, they would have to win to sort of keep alive there.
It is an amazing setup, isn't it? This finals, it is absolutely boils down to an absolute cracker. If you are looking to make the trip to Mount Gambier this weekend, I just want to make a point. This year there has been some troubles between, we noticed last week, got reported to us late last week, some issues on South Australian time for the Mount Gambier and Millicent home games on My Hoops, anyone who's on the My Hoops app. And I just want to note that's now awesome job from the team at Play HQ and also with Sarah and the team BV. There's just a little game note that adds that makes a note of the Australian Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Is that right? And also the Central Time. So it's got actually the two separate times relevant to Victoria and South Australia listed there. So I know it's not a massive thing, but I just want to highlight, I guess, it's one of those little issues that comes up that's been able to be ironed out on in quick time.
Well, I mean, it's important, isn't it?
Oh, 100%.
I guess. It's half an hour. So you got currently a 5 o'clock game, SA is 4:30. So it actually generally does matter, especially if you're travelling. So, no, fantastic update. And very swiftly done. So awesome to see as we move to our Southwest women. As last week we saw Millicent's win on Saturday help their finals hopes stay alive, defeating Warrnambool Twire by 20 points, with the likes of Mackenzie Burke and Poppy Venn combining for 41 in this victory. Sarah, what else did you see across this weekend?
Well, Warrnambool have then turned the tables on Sunday and then taken down Mount Gambier, which was a really crucial win to keep them locked in what is that very tight finals race, with third, fourth and fifth all sitting on the exact same wins heading into this weekend and all having two games each. So getting that win on Mount Gambier, one, of course, in the head-to-head space helps them, but also just getting that win on the board to stay tight in that race as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a tight race, like you said. There's the five teams competing here. So you got Portland on top with a 7-1 record, but 2, 3, and 4 again. This is one of those conferences that is like so interesting to see what's going to happen. Yeah.
The first line in my notes for this conference are the outcomes are endless with the top four. So pretty much the locked away one is Portland. They do have the bye this weekend. They have wrapped up that top spot, finishing with only the one loss for the season. So you'd see them heading into finals quite strong and looking to have that home semi. But whoever they're going to play, they're just going to have to sit and wait. You really can't predict what's going to go on here.
Absolutely. We got Greg over here writing some stuff down. I'm not sure if I'm ready to pass that over to him, but he's definitely got some stuff going on here. So I might have to check back in a second unless he's ready.
If we had another day, Ted, I reckon I would have sat here with all the pluses and minuses and exactly how this was all going to look, because this is where, as competition people, we get a little bit nerdy as we're looking at a five-team comp with four teams still in the finals mix for three positions. Head-to-head will be crucial in this space, and with so many matchups involving all four teams with each other this weekend, it's kind of like it's finals time already. This is knockout weekend. This is week one of finals with Portland being able to get around and have a look at whoever they want to watch for the weekend. It promises to be an absolute cracker of a weekend of games. Of course, Portland might just be getting their stadium ready, hosting the grand final for the Southwest Conference. Sarah, I understand they're very excited at the prospect, not getting ahead of themselves, but I understand they're very excited at the prospect that maybe their Portland women get to be involved in a home final.
Yeah, I know they're super excited, and obviously they'll be able to use their home semi next weekend to sort of be a pre kind of test run for the grand final itself. They can sort of get things started and see how everything's going to go. But they're super excited to be able to host. And with the way that their women's team is going currently, you would be pretty close to thinking that they should be heading into that grand final. However, as we're talking about finals, anything physically can happen. So we'll sit and wait, but they're super excited to be hosting.
Of course, they have dropped one during the year though, Portland. So it does go back a fair way. It does go back to round three when they lost to Colac, and it was away at Colac. So, you know, with anyone, anyone could be their opposition in that first final. But as you say, anything can happen. But Interesting to note, I don't think we've covered off the grand final in the Southwest being at Portland. There are some concerns. It's not a big stadium in terms of crowd, but we have gone about doing things a little differently in terms of ticketing for the grand final. Important for people to be aware of a couple of weeks in advance.
Yeah, so the grand finals, when we're looking at locations and things, obviously we want to try and get as many people available for games as possible and be able to go in and watch, whether they're coming for their men's team, if they're in the final, if they're coming for just the women's team, or want to try and watch both. So with Portland and with Wollin as well being sort of smaller capacities, we will be looking to ticket them as two separate games. So that'll give you the potential, if you want to just watch one game, you'll be able to try and lock that one away. If you're trying to watch both, it'll be two separate tickets. And then obviously if you're just coming for the men, sort of heading in a little bit later to watch that one.
No, I think it's just important we got that out there. I think that's a really good thing. And it is such a geographically spread competition between the men's and women's competitions that just want to make sure if people are going to go, they are going to get in and watch the game. So but just be ready once those semi-finals are done. Just be ready to make sure you're ready to buy the tickets. All that information will come out shortly. But given it was a smaller capacity, important, I think, that we just flag that for everyone.
Yeah, but heading back into sort of how the women's games can look this weekend, I think Greg might have been looking at the head-to-head, so I might have just thrown him under the bus then. But I have not quite gone that far in my notes today. However, when we're looking at it, we have Mount Gambier and Colac playing each other on Saturday night. So that's one. They're both locked in their same points in terms of wins and losses. And then we also have Millicent taking on Warrnambool. Warrnambool will be really trying to take that win over Millicent and put them on the three wins each. And again, that could then shape things as well. Whoever wins that Mount Gambier Colac game will also go to three wins as well. So we could end up with, on Saturday night, three teams on three wins each. And then literally it would just be how everything goes on Sunday.
Yeah, super exciting weekend in almost every conference, to be honest. There's always something that's going to happen. So be sure to look out on My Hoops and the PlayHQ website as to see what unfolds. As we turn to our Northwest conferences, men and women, the regular season is done and dusted. We are straight into finals here. 1v4, 2v3. We'll start with our men's. But before we even get into that, Sarah, you were at Bendigo on the weekend. How was your experience up there?
Yeah, headed up to Bendigo on Sunday. Did catch quite a bit of rain on the way, which wasn't great. However, it did turn out to be a nice day in the end. And obviously, we were lucky enough to be inside at Red Energy Arena. We did get moved onto the court one as well, just to make sure that nothing was going to impact the game. So it was good to see it sort of in the pre-setup for the grand final there as well. But this Northwest Conference, especially the men's, but I'll touch on the women's as well from last weekend. It was insane the way it all worked out. So Bendigo had two top four clashes. So they took on Castlemaine on Saturday night, but then also had to back up with Mildura on Sunday. So they really needed to win both to try and lock their semi-final home game away. And they did do just that. On Saturday night, coming up against Castlemaine, that game probably lived up to the hype that everyone thought it would be. Bendigo won the first three quarters and were heading into that fourth quarter by six. And in the last dying seconds, can't tell you exactly how many seconds were left with the way that PlayHQ does the play by play. But however, both teams were locked at 58 all. Bendigo had a timeout, which then has led into a play where 2 points has been scored and Bendigo take the lead from there. Castlemaine did call a timeout, but it hasn't eventuated to a score. So that has Bendigo taking home the win there. And then with the way everything else fell Saturday night, it did mean, looking at the ladder Saturday night, first through to fourth were all locked on the 7 wins, 2 losses. So Bendigo were facing Mildura, so it was a first and fourth battle, and Bacchus Marsh were taking on Castlemaine, so that second and third battle. And it was pretty simple. You just had to win. You win, you get your home semi. It was simple as that. It wasn't really looking on head-to-head for everything because two were going to be up on 8 wins, two were going to stay on their 7. So as Ted mentioned, I was at Bendigo and did have a look at the Bendigo-Mildura game. So Bendigo started out super strong. They finished the first quarter 18-9. Mildura come out second, get on a bit of a hot run, so 7-1. So they were trying to really reduce that margin. Drew Pilmore has been very big for Mildura this season as a whole, and he did get a 3 that got the margin back to 2. However, from there, Bendigo were able to surge on a bit, push it back out to a double-digit margin and kind of run away a little bit with it. The final score was 50-78 with Bendigo winning. Drew Pilmore did end up top scoring with 16, but Bendigo had 5 players go into double digits. So that's super big for them. And I think that just showed with them running away with it. In my opinion, from watching the game, the scoreline was probably a little bit bigger than it probably should have been. So Mildura did some great defensive work, got rebounds, really got the ball down the court. I would have loved to have been able to see their shooting percentage. It seemed like they had the ball in their hand quite a lot, but it just wasn't getting turned into points on the board.
Yeah, so I think, like you said, the scoreline probably didn't quite reflect the game that was. Obviously, coming up against each other this weekend in a knockout final, you said Bendigo having 5 players in double digits. There's more than enough time for Mildura to quickly go back to this game, have a look and see what they can do to adjust. Scoring isn't an issue for Mildura, I don't think. I think, some percentages would be interesting to see, but they can definitely put the ball on the rim. I think it might have seemed like it was the other side of the floor where they just allowed too many guys to score the ball, like 78 points, and every single person scored for Bendigo on the weekend. 5 of them in double figures, but, a bunch of players with 4, 5, 3, and 2, like, This is a Bendigo team that all have the ability to score. So Mildura, I think, are going to have to really do something, not differently, but just be a little bit more defensively focused and allow that sort of transition offensive flow from their defense. Because ultimately, I think that is the way that they're going to win. If they just continue to allow Bendigo to score, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, that'll be a very interesting one. Also on Sunday, as mentioned, we had Bacchus Marsh and Castlemaine. This was probably the comeback of the season so far, in my opinion, just with everything that was on the line. So at halftime, Bacchus Marsh go into the shed 16 points down. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that Bacchus Marsh change room. I just want to know what was said to them, what they talked about, how they've then come out and turned the whole outcome of the game around, winning the third quarter 26-6. And then in a tight fourth quarter, we have a 3 scored with seconds on the clock to take home that win. I'd love to know what the rev up was, if they got a rev up, because I know it wouldn't work for every team and every person, but
very true.
What happened for that turnaround? Because they just came out a new team and made sure they're heading into that home semi.
Yeah, I'm curious as well. 26-6 is quite a deficit there. You would sort of love to know, was it Bacchus Marsh that actually took that extra step, or was it Castlemaine that sort of just not slipped up, but just really struggled and got bogged down themselves? Like, you can probably sway it either way. You can say the ball fell at one end and it didn't the other. You can say that the Bacchus Marsh did an awesome job of changing things coming out of halftime, making some small adjustments, or Castlemaine just got, sort of a little bit ahead of themselves after, leading at halftime. So, again, a rematch this weekend. I believe it's a Bacchus Marsh again, Castlemaine traveling over. I'm expecting this to be almost the same.
Yeah, I think that this... both games, I think, could be a cracker. When you're looking at this one and what happened this weekend, I think Castlemaine will come out wanting some revenge.
Yeah.
Just a bit of a stat, they have dropped their last 3 games. So in round 6, they did go down to Swan Hill on Sunday. They had the bye in round 7 and then came out this weekend and went down twice as well. So they're coming in probably a little bit of the underdogs, but I think you can't forget what they did in the first half of the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they went 7-0.
Yep.
But then obviously form is a thing going to finals, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes and if Bacchus Marsh can sort of grind and grit again and try and wrestle sort of the win again.
yeah, I think my eyes are on Josiah Patterson from Castlemaine, 17 points in the weekend just gone. Chris Hogan led all scorers with 23 right next to Mayul from Backers Marsh. But no, I do think Josiah Patterson's going to come out and just go absolutely nuts. He has before. He has in everything else he's done. He's represented Victoria as well. So I do think he's going to have an absolute game, or at least try to help his Castlemaine boys over the line.
Yeah. So that game is going to be at 7:30 on Saturday. So in Backers Marsh. So if you're around, you're thinking about heading out to a game, I think that one is going to be an absolute cracker. The Bendigo-Mildura game is going to be a 4:30 start on Saturday in Bendigo. There is a Bendigo Spirit game happening later as well. So, you know, if you are going to head to that Spirit game and you've got some free time earlier, come down early. We've got the women's happening before that as well. If you just want to pop in a bit early, come down. Come and watch some country basketball. I think you won't be disappointed, especially when we're looking at semi-finals.
Absolutely. So that women's game where Bendigo are hosting Backers Marsh in the 1v4 matchup, 2:30 start for that women there. I think Bendigo are going to be too strong here. Poppy Blanch and Jessica Smith, just two dominant players, not only in this CBL competition, but in every competition they're playing in. I think they're going to be too strong. They scored, 47 points collectively last week and a 27-point win. So Backers Marsh, I think, have a bit of work to do here. I think they're going to have to come up with something really special, and I think they're more than capable of it. But I do just think this Bendigo unit is just going to be a little bit too strong. That 9-1 record, I think, sort of reflects it.
Yeah, it's going to be – I just want to put out Backers Marsh. This is their first final appearance for their women's team. And when I say they've scraped in by the skin of their teeth, they have scraped in. I'll head back up to what sort of happened this weekend with them in a second. But I think for Backers Marsh, they've had some issues with injuries and illnesses towards the back end of the season. I think that's impacted them. You can see they've taken a couple of losses. It's going to depend on the availability of players if they're able to push this Bendigo side. Because as you mentioned, they've only dropped the one game. So it's if they can push them and keep them sort of foot on the throat kind of thing, if they can try and run away with a win at home as well. When we are talking, what I was saying, the skin of the teeth, Melton on Saturday night were able to defeat Mildura. So this game actually disrupted Mildura's chance of hosting a home semi. They did have the head-to-head on Kyneton, who have ended up finishing second. However, it could have been a different story if they were able to get one win out of the weekend. But unfortunately, they weren't. So that's sort of finished them that third spot. Melton just controlled this whole game on Saturday night. They won all four quarters. Elle Price has scored 19. She finished out a very consistent season in terms of scoring for them. But Melton just, they fell as physically short as you could of making finals. So they finished 5 wins, 5 losses. So this was equal with Backers Marsh sitting in fourth. So then we have to look at head-to-head. They've played one time against each other in the season, all the way back in round two. Do you want to know what happened in round two, Ted?
Go on, tell me. Go on.
Backers Marsh win by 1 point. Do you know how they win it? Off free throws from Jordan Wilson at the end of the game. So, like, literally physically close as you could go to make finals as possible. Melton have also had a number of close games this season with that top four. They go down by 4 points to Bendigo, who we know finished top. They lose by 8 points to Kyneton, who have finished second. They also defeated Mildura on Saturday night, as we're talking about, who finished third. Like, I don't know, and then lose by the one to Backers Marsh. I don't know how close they could have gone. Like, you can't go any closer. It's literally impossible.
I think if you're talking about investment in the competition, I think that's what it says it all. Sarah, the league manager right there, coming in with all the stats, that was honestly fantastic. I loved to hear all of that. I think that truly reflects the competition that was and obviously your interest and love for this competition, that's really reflected. I think that was actually quite incredible.
I think this conference has lived up to it. I know you've nicknamed it your favorite conference, and I think it's really showed why it is, because everything has just been come down to the wire in every sense of it.
You're speechless, are you, Greg?
Well, to be honest, I went in thinking I've got this nice one. I know the situation between Melton and Bacchus Marsh. I'm ready to add a little corker here. God, I'm glad I shut up. That was mine was going to be nothing as good as what Sarah just delivered. So, no, look, that's it is. It is. It was great to listen to because that's how good the competition is. I have to admit, going a couple of years ago, I didn't know much about the CBL, but it is something that I've fallen in love with. Absolutely love it. And these games have I've got to see Bendigo v. Kyneton as the women's final the last couple of years. And all due respect to Bendigo, terrific program, but geez, you'd love to see the new guns in Bacchus Marsh scrape into finals and then knock off the team that's inevitably they I don't know how many they've won in a row, but it's been they're always in the grand final. Geez, it'd be good to see Bacchus Marsh get up and win the final.
Yeah, sitting in Bendigo on Sunday when I was trying to sort out the head-to-heads to try and get the information to teams as soon as we possibly could, and obviously the public, because as we're talking about head-to-head, we can't set it in on the ladder. So yep. It's all about manual. I was sitting there trying to work out how it works, what happens, and I've come across that little gem, and I was like, I have to write this down right now. So here I am sitting courtside at Bendigo, men's game starting. I'm sitting on my laptop, sitting writing notes on my phone, just... my mind was blown with how everything went. So also in our second semi on Saturday as well, so that's 4 p.m. this one. It's going to be hosted by Kyneton.
Yep.
We're going to have Kyneton versus Mildura. Looking at pass, I know I just mentioned it before, Mildura have defeated Kyneton.
Yeah, back in round 7, yeah.
So it's really not that long ago.
Mm.
So this one I think could go both ways. Kyneton have been quite consistent, quite strong, but Mildura have gotten the better of them and quite recently. So I think this one, toss of the coin.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. Mildura, like you said, were the ones that got over the line, so it was the away team. So whether it's going to be flipped, I don't know. But Strawhern from Kyneton, I think she's like fifth or sixth in scoring for this entire conference. So I'm sort of looking at her to see what her weekend's going to look like. I think she's super impressive for Kyneton. I think she can be the one to really lift the standard in this semi-final playing at home. But no, I think it's like 138 points she's scored across this season. So looking for her to make some serious impact here. Like you said, 4 o'clock at Kyneton for that second and third placing.
Yeah, it's just... you just can't even tip who's going to win. You just don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, you can hedge your bets, but I think that's about as best you can do.
Yeah, I don't think anyone could go in 100% this team's going to win, and this is exactly why. I think you just have to be prepared for whatever to happen just at any given time.
Absolutely. Well, that wraps just about us up for the podcast today. Ted West here with Sarah and Greg in the studio. Thanks for jumping on, guys. We have one more round for 3 more conferences, and like we just spoke about, the Northwest in their first round of semifinals, knockouts, 1v4, 2v3. If you don't know what to do, go ahead to these games. They're super exciting. So we'll catch you all next week.